Continuing, I had before thought of this passage, and it had seemed to me that there was a meaning in it which I did not understand. I had said in my thoughts, what if I do think myself dead to sin? How will just thinking myself dead to sin make me thus dead? How will any change be wrought in the state of my heart before God by my laboring to think so? Again, I had thought of the injunction, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And I said in my heart, I will endeavor to do so. However, I found myself wholly unable to do so in any way that even began to satisfy me that I was in truth dead to sin. It was not the comfort of a sincere mistake regarding my own character that I desired. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, Psalms 42:1, so panted my soul after a full conformity to the will of God. I felt that nothing would satisfy me for a moment but to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Nor was it my ambition to have others think me free from sin that I was seeking to gratify. For if I could have made the whole universe believe me to be free from sin, while it was not a fact, it would not have begun in the least degree to satisfy the longings of my soul. Could I have possessed all the wealth and received all the honor and enjoyed all the pleasure which the whole universe could have lavished upon me, and have been thought by every creature of God in earth and in heaven to have been as pure as the spirits that wait continually before the eternal throne, all this would have done nothing to fulfill the desires which burned in my heart to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Still, however, with my eye on the injunction, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, I was not able to see how I should do this, so that it should be indeed and in truth a reality in the sight of God. Nothing short of that would satisfy me for a moment. I now remembered that blessed promise of our divine and glorious and loving Savior, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26. I now cast myself down before the Lord, and prayed in the name of Christ, that the Holy Spirit might guide me into all truth, respecting the passage before me, and teach me how to reckon myself dead to sin and alive to God, so that it would be a reality and not a thing of imagination. Having made known my request, I trusted in Christ that the teachings of the Spirit would be given me. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 15:16. I therefore placed my confidence in the Savior and believed that for his sake the Holy Spirit would show me how to reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Instantly, while I was even on my knees with the blessed Bible open before me on these words, there seemed shed upon them a flood of heavenly light, and my very soul was filled with unutterable gladness, with joy unspeakable and full of glory, 1 Peter 1:8, with the thought that seemed as clear as the brightness of 1,000 suns, that I was to reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, by trusting my Lord Jesus Christ to keep me dead to sin, but alive unto God, by trusting my Lord Jesus Christ to keep me alive to God. This I saw would be reckoning myself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. It was to cease forever from placing my confidence in my own strength, and to rely altogether upon the strength and faithfulness of my blessed Lord Jesus Christ, to make and keep me pure within, to make and keep me dead indeed unto sin, to make and keep me alive unto God. And now, if I had found myself that moment monarch of the world, with its crown on my head, its scepter in my hand, its accumulated treasures at my feet, and every individual among all its multitudes ready to do my bidding, it would not have begun to afford me the joy which I felt when I saw, as I then did, the privilege which a God of infinite love had granted me, to reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, by trusting my Lord Jesus Christ to make and keep me thus alive. How glorious and lovely did my Savior then appear! Or ever I was aware my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Song of Solomon 6:12. If the crown and scepter and the riches and the homage of the world had been mine, I should have leaped for joy and run to give Christ the scepter and the crown, the riches and the homage, and to lay myself in the dust at his feet, to be his humblest, lowliest servant forevermore. Oh, since I have known my high privilege to reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. By his strength the upright love thee. Song of Solomon 1:3, 2, and 4. When the Holy Spirit thus enlightened me respecting my privilege of reckoning myself dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ my Lord, he at that moment enabled me to avail myself of the privilege, and I instantly found myself more than restored to that blessed state of conscious purity of heart before God, from which I had fallen by refusing to confess before men what my Savior had done for me. The love of the world was gone. No sinful indulgence had any charm for me. My whole heart was won by Christ and filled with overflowing love to him. And I feel that 1,000 hearts, had they been mine, would have been most joyfully consecrated to his service. I had no will but his, and no desire of life or death or eternity, but to be disposed of in that way which would secure the highest possible praise to my Redeemer. I was now delivered from the fear of man, and as I had covenanted with the Lord to confess his faithfulness to the world, when he should give me evidence on which I could rely, that I was redeemed from all iniquity, and as I had now found myself, and in a way so glorious and delightful beyond everything I had ever before conceived, made dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I had been so abundantly enlightened respecting the privilege of every Christian to be kept in that state by the faithfulness of the dear Redeemer. I could not for a moment hesitate. It was my duty to declare to the world that by the power of the Holy Spirit, given me by my own blessed Savior, I was made dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Besides, I had once known the bitterness of denying my Savior here, and the blessed work which he had wrought in me, for the purpose of retaining the good opinion of man. The Holy Spirit had set that sin before me, and I had opened my mouth to the Lord, that if he would restore me, I would bear his reproach. And now he had enabled me once more, in his infinite and abounding mercy, With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and it remained that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, from falling again into the snare of the devil. Romans 10:10. I have been enabled to make this confession to the world, that the great God and my Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purified me unto himself, Titus 2:13-14, that I am dead unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord, and that the God of peace is faithful to sanctify me wholly, and to preserve my whole spirit, soul, and body blameless unto the coming of my Lord Jesus Christ, that the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, does through the blood of the everlasting covenant make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I felt that in making this confession I was laying myself and my all, a sacrifice on the altar of my God and Savior. But that Savior had led me by his own amazing love and given me a heart that could deny him no more, and that was ready and glad at all hazards to confess his faithfulness and power and love to the world. I knew that the world would reproach me. I knew that God's professed people would cast out my name as evil. I knew that the friends whom I loved most dearly would, many of them perhaps, weep over me as lost. I knew that the confidence of the churches with which I stood connected would be withdrawn from me, and perhaps all my past prospects of a maintenance of myself and my household be entirely cut off. But I knew that my Redeemer lived, and that all power was given unto him in heaven and on earth, and that I had only to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, nothing doubting, but consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, Matthew 6:28-29, would surely feed and clothe me and mine. In this state of mind I did at the altar of my God make confession of what God had taught me of his truth, and of what I had been made to feel of his purifying, sanctifying grace in Jesus Christ. And thus I discharged a duty to which I am sure I never could have been led by anything but a once crucified and now glorified Savior's love manifested to me by the Holy Ghost. I have no more doubt that I was constrained to this step by the love of Christ than I have that Christ or my own soul has a being. I know I was not led to it by a love of the world, for I never could have done it until the last vestige of the love of the world had been taken from me. I know that until I had made of the whole world an entire sacrifice to Christ, I never could have thus held myself up to scorn. On the morning of the day which immediately followed the Sabbath, when I first witnessed this confession before men, I had a season of communion with God, of which I will speak because I think it may do good. I was alone in my chamber and meditating upon some passages of Scripture which made mention of the faithfulness of God. They were as follows: God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:9. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Revelation 19:11. His name is also called the Word of God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:16. While reflecting thus upon the faithfulness of my God and Savior, my whole soul seemed heaved with inexpressible emotions and poured out in floods of gushing love at my Redeemer's feet. I felt that I had forsaken all for him, and could now only leave myself in his hands and commit all my interests to his disposal. And now, in view of the safety of trusting my all with him, my soul exulted with amazing gladness, and I could only walk from my room weeping aloud for joy, and pouring out my tears of overflowing delight, as I uttered again and again the single expression, "My faithful God, my faithful God." Since that time I have had various conflicts with Satan, but I have never for a moment doubted the faithfulness of my Redeemer in saving all his people from their sins who will believe on his name for that blessing. I see most clearly that the only reason why any Christian is not saved from sin is because of unbelief. Romans 11:20. I have by no means been all that I hope or expect to be, for I see that it is the privilege of the Christian that has been redeemed from all iniquity, still forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, Philippians 3:13, and be beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:18. I believe that to be cleansed from all unrighteousness is by no means the height of the Christian's privilege on earth, that beyond that he may go to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and be filled more and more with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:18-19. Even then we may still say to him with the apostle, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Ephesians 3:20-21. You will now see, brethren, in what I have related to you of the readings and teachings of God's Spirit with my own soul, why I cannot regard your admonition, and desist from preaching the doctrine of entire sanctification by faith in Christ. I could not do it without regarding myself as a traitor to my blessed Lord and Master, who has made to me a miserable, unworthy, hell-deserving worm of the dust. Manifestations of his presence and love, bright and glorious, far beyond anything which I once could have conceived. I believe the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I feel that necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not this gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Like Jonah fleeing to Tarshish, I once attempted to escape the discharge of the duty. Like Jeremiah, I said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah 29. Once I denied the faithfulness of my Redeemer, but he forgave me, and has restored me to the enjoyment of his love, and has, as I firmly believe in faithfulness to his own promise, circumcised thine heart to love the Lord with all thine heart and with all thy soul. I must speak it to the world. Let him have the glory, and let me bear the reproach which I must bear for his sake. I must confess it to the world for the purpose of making known, as far as I am able with his blessing, to all God's people their high privileges in Christ Jesus. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:11-12. And now, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts 4:19-20.